Repeat after me. Good Christian friends, rejoice.
Good Christian friends, rejoice.
Oh man, you guys are a lot more awake than the 9 o'clock service. That's awesome. So today, first let me pray. That's always good. Please pray with me. Lord God, as we have heard your word proclaimed and announced, we come before you and we open our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive what it is for you that you have for us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So today we're starting our Advent series on the carols of Christmas. And so we're going to look at the origin of some of our well-known Christmas carols, Christmas hymns. And as you may have guessed, our hymn for today is Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Or as it was known in the original language, Latin, In Dulci Jubilo. And so this hymn originated in the 14th century, and around sometime in the 1800s, there was this movement to take these medieval hymns that were in Latin and in German and translate them into English and make them accessible to the church in the 1800s. And one of the people that did this was J.M. Neal, or John Neal. And so as we are going to look a little bit at this hymn and we're going to look a little bit at John Neal's life, we see how this hymn, much like our text today, it expresses this good news about the birth of Christ. Christ who was born to save and calling all of us, all Christians, to rejoice with heart and soul and voice. And so part of the medieval tradition back in the 14th century was to use hymns to teach illiterate population Bible stories. And what they would do is take these old hymns and put them to the folk music of the day. And so this particular hymn actually was a folk dance, the tune for this particular hymn. So you can see it's very lively, and which was not the way things generally were. Usually the hymns of that day and even in the 1800s were more plain song, sort of like think of Gregorian chant kind of music. And so these songs were kind of revolutionary and they caused a lot of controversy. See, even back then, worship wars. Yep. So anyway, so John Neal took this hymn along with many others and translated it from the Latin and the German. You notice that we sing Good Christian Friends Rejoice, which most of us probably grew up singing Good Christian Men Rejoice. And so about 20 years they changed the language so that it could include us ladies as well, right? Okay. Actually, the original hymn didn't even have that line in it. John Neal added that. So there was nothing about good Christian men or anybody rejoicing. That line was added. So this carol was part of the Oxford School of Carols. They were all brought together. They were all working on translating and writing some of these hymns. And the Catholic Church wasn't particularly crazy about that, but they went ahead and did it anyway. So some of the other hymns that you might recognize that John Neal either wrote or translated, All Glory, Laud, and Honor is one. That was a very ancient hymn from like the 4th century. And he translated that. He wrote Good King Wenceslas, which we know pretty well. And Christ Has Made the Sure Foundation. And there are many, many others. So as we look at our scripture for today, we see that like the hymn, it's talking about in very accessible terms who Christ is. And it's John is talking to people who have seen Christ, experienced Christ, walked with Christ, listened to Christ, been there with his death and resurrection. They have experienced all of it. And so that's who his audience is. And so he reminds them that they had seen Christ revealed, that they had experienced Christ, and that they had shared in the fellowship of being one in Christ. And so this scripture is kind of divided into three sections. He says, the word of life has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We've experienced it, we've seen it, heard it, and touched it with the eyes, ears, and hands of faith. And we share it in the community of believers. We seek to bring that word of life to others. So when we look at the word revealed, we recognize that we obviously were not there. We obviously have not seen Jesus face to face. But Jesus was revealed to us, maybe through our parents or grandparents, maybe growing up in the church and Sunday school. Somehow Jesus has been revealed to us. Many of us maybe didn't have this great revelation or this huge experience where we, you know, walked down with at a Billy Graham crusade or something like that. Some of us may have had a more subtle awakening of who Jesus was. And so this was similar to John Neal. He grew up in a Christian home. He felt called to ministry because of his upbringing and his love for Christ. And so he actually was an ordained Anglican priest. He was raised by his mother because his father died at a young age. And he attributes his mother's raising of him and her way of teaching him as being formative for him. The second thing that we see in our scripture is that we experience Christ, and we can experience Christ in so many different ways. Obviously, we weren't there, we didn't hear Christ, we didn't experience the crucifixion or the resurrection, but we experience life through Christ. In our everyday life, we experience it through prayer, through answered prayer. We experience it through being a part of a community. And we experience this promise of this hope. We have this hope that no matter what, we have Christ to be there for us and to hold us up. At the same time, we also recognize that life is not always peaches and cream, is it? We sometimes, I think, grow up with this misunderstanding. I know I kind of had this early idea that if I follow Christ and if I do everything right, then everything's going to go smoothly in my life. Yeah, I know. That's a hard one to let go of. And if we listen to some preachers on TV, we may notice that that's what they talk about. If you just pray hard enough, if you just live your life righteously enough, if you just say enough affirmations every single day, then you're going to be rich and healthy and have a good relationship and what else? No money problems. Yeah, everything's going to go peachy. But we know that that doesn't always happen. And again, if we look at the life of John Neal, he was chronically ill. He was so ill, he had respiratory issues. He was so ill that he could not go into parish ministry because he didn't have the energy that it took. to be a parish priest. Sometimes I think I don't have the energy to be a parish minister. But he recognized that right off. But it didn't stop him. He was able to have this really fulfilled life anyway. He wasn't respected by his peers because of translating these hymns. It wasn't considered a reputable thing to do, and so he was kind of ignored and persecuted a little bit. And so that's what his experience with life with Christ was like. Except that he didn't let that stop him. Despite his illness, despite being disrespected, he went on to live this incredibly productive life. And if you want, I would encourage you to Google him, John Neal, because his life is just absolutely amazing. For 20 years, in addition to translating some of our most beloved hymns, he was the warden of Sackville College in East Grinstead, and it was a retirement home for poor men. And he served there faithfully, and he not only served the men, but he expanded the ministry to include indigent women and children and orphans. And so he gave his life to the poor. He also founded the Sisterhood of St. Margaret, which became one of the finest English training orders for nurses. He experienced life with Christ, and he shared it with others and made their lives better. He lived in community, just like we live in community. Our fellowship with each other and with Christ is the reason that we can always rejoice, even in the midst of difficulty. I know I've shared with you, my sister's going through some difficult times, and you know what she does? I was with her this week for Thanksgiving, which was a tough day for her. And she was having a particularly tough time, and she went up to her room, and all of a sudden, she is blasting music. And you know what she's blasting? Toby Mac. Now, some of you don't know who Toby Mac is, but he's a contemporary Christian artist that does rap. And he's very high energy. And so I can hear this sound reverberating through her whole house, which she has a very large house. And she is just wailing on it, you know? Just going for it. And that is what is keeping her going, is just being reminded that even in the midst of really crappy stuff, we can still praise God and we can still rejoice. And so that is what gets us through, that's what reminds us, and then we can share that with others. And you know, I think one of the best testimonies to people who don't know Christ and don't follow Christianity is to see how we live our lives in the midst of difficult things. We rejoice this Advent season because we remember that hope and promise. We remember that hope and promise of Christ's birth and death and resurrection and his coming again in the future. And as we wait, we rejoice and sing. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, we do give you thanks and we rejoice even in the midst, even when things may not be going as well as we'd like, even through challenges and difficulties. We rejoice when we're happy and we rejoice when we're sad. We always give thanks and rejoice. We just thank you, God, for your message to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.